We'll go back to here. How's that sound? Amen. I am excited this morning that we get to move into the second sermon of a second series. Back in April, we preached Bible butts. Now, I want you to notice there's only one T in that butt. And I want you to know that I am not the one that put the cover of the book bulletin together. Some of you will look at that now and you'll get quite a little joke. We're only talking about Bible butts with one T. I tell you what, and many of you that's been around for a while, you know that I get excited every time I'm reading the scripture and I find the word but. Because the word but changes directions. It changes reality. When you see the word but in the scripture, it changes what's happening. It changes statements. I mean, it's one thing to look at your wife and say, I love you, but. Well, come on now. You know, when you start saying but, then all of a sudden it changes what was said before. I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, Pastor, we really appreciate you, but you preach too long. Pastor, we appreciate you, but you tell too many stories. Pastor, we appreciate you, but you brag about your wife too much. So when you say that word, but last week we talked about no, and God, and we ended. We're going to preach, well, let me go 2 weeks out. The 24th, we're going to have a baby dedication. And we're going to talk about bringing the children to the Lord. The disciples were stopping them. But Jesus said, suffer the little children not. And we're going to talk about bringing the children to the Lord. Next week, we're going to preach a tough sermon. I'm going to sugarcoat it the best I can because y'all know I sugarcoat everything I preach. And I'm just here to make you happy. Next week, we're going to preach a sermon entitled, We Believe that God will deliver us from your hand, but. Next week, we're going to talk about being attacked by the devil. And being attacked by the enemy. And we're going to talk about one of the biggest butts in the Bible. And it's the butt that we don't want to deal with. I believe God can deliver me, but what if he doesn't? Ooh, it's going to be a good sermon. But today, I want to talk about a sermon entitled, Deliverance Will Rise from Another Place, But. Deliverance is coming, but. It's going to happen, but. I want you to open your Bibles with me, if you will. Woo! Esther chapter 4, we're going to read one verse of scripture, verse number 14. Esther chapter 4, verse number 14. Mordecai, Esther's uncle, is speaking with Esther here in this verse. And he says, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now and I give you glory and I give you honor and I give you praise. Lord, I ask that you would send your victory and your mercy into our hearts and into our lives. Lord, I want you to show us your word, show us your power. Lord, allow me to preach this message in a way, Lord Jesus, with the passion and the excitement that you gave it to me. Lord, let people leave here challenged and willing to stand up and be a butt in their family. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you heard that last line of my prayer as I asked God to let us stand up and be a butt in our family. Some of my family has already done that. Been examples to me. But this morning I want to talk about Esther. Esther is one of those books in the Bible that is powerful. And there's so many different sermons and so many different ways that you can preach and look at the story of Esther's life. She is a picture of what it means to stand in the gap. She is a picture of what it means to be placed by God in a situation that you can lead others. Mordecai tells her in the verse that we read, who knows that you have been put here for such a time as this? I got news for you. Who knows why you're here this morning, but you may have been placed here today for just such a time as this. God has prepared your path. God has ordered your steps. David says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. What that means is that God places in front of us where we need to go and how we need to move so that we can be where we need to be to do what God needs us to do. I've come by here today to tell you, I was listening to my father yesterday teach at the MIP seminar, and he got about halfway through and he said, I came by here to tell you. And Pastor Brian and Pastor Anna looked at me and started laughing. So I guess it runs in the family, but I've come here today to let you know. See, I didn't say tell you. Come here today to let you know that God has prepared you for something. And you don't know that you may be here for a reason. And I think it's important for us to understand that when we refuse to follow the hand of God, many times we miss the opportunity to do what God has laid out for us to do. I share a quick story with you. I don't know what time it is, so I don't have to worry about it. I'll share a quick story with you this morning. Some of you have heard this story. Some of you haven't. Forgive my redundance. But when I was about 16 years old, I went to youth camp. My best friend was there. My dad was the state youth director. My best friend's dad pastored the church in Yuma, Arizona. His name was Barry Morrison, and me and Barry, we were tight. We were good friends. Every time we were at camps or anything in the state, he lived 3 hours away, but every time we'd get together, we hung out together, and he sang, and I did whatever it is I call, whatever I call what I do. And every year at Teen Talent, he would beat me. Every year he would win and I'd get runner up every year. One year we got to Teen Talent and he sang and he missed some notes and I got up. I'm like, this is my chance. And I nailed it and I beat him. But then some other dude that we didn't know came in and beat us both. But me and Barry, we were tight. We were good friends. And matter of fact, the first time I ever worked camp as a counselor, me and Barry were co-counselors. Barry was about a year older than me, and I think I was 15. He was 16. Dad needed a counselor for 7-year-old boys at camp. And he put me and Barry together in a cabin. And we were counselors. That's the first time I was a counselor at camp. And we were just good friends. Well, I think it was the next year I'm at teen camp, and we had one of those services where it was just explosion. I mean, it was just, everybody was shouting and falling out in the spirit, and they'd preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and people were getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden God was using me like I'd never been used before. And some of you have heard me talk about these instances, but I had one of the three times in my life that God began to give me what I call spiritual neon signs. I'd be in the altar and I'd see an arrow that looked like a neon sign over somebody's head. And I would make my way over to where they were and I'd begin to pray with them and they'd begin to speak in tongues. And they'd be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that was the first time it ever happened. And I was like going, that's scary, but this is awesome. And I'm running around the altar, and I'm praying for people. And I must have prayed for 5 or 6 people who got the Holy Ghost. And every time I'd start speaking in tongues, I'd look up in the air with a prayer over somebody else, and I'd go over. About the 5th or 6th time I'd prayed for somebody, I turned around and I looked, and there was the arrow. This time it was over Barry's head. I said, "Oh, whoa, 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 God. Barry's my friend. Barry's a preacher's kid. Barry knows the Bible better than I know the Bible. He got the Holy Ghost. He don't need this prayer, God. He doesn't need that." And I refused to go to Barry because I wasn't going to be embarrassed to go and pray that he got the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know the arrow went away. Never came back that night. I prayed for more people. Nobody I prayed with got the Holy Ghost while I was praying with them. We leave that service. That night we were taking buses into town to go roller skating, late night roller skating at camp. And as always, me and Barry jumped into a bus seat together. And Barry looks over at me, and everybody's crying, and we're all, you know, "Man, that was awesome." Barry looks over at me, and he said, "Man, that was an incredible service." I said, "Man, God was moving." And Barry looked at me, tears in his eyes. He said, Tommy, I was that close to getting the Holy Ghost tonight. I refuse to obey. I refuse the opportunity. Now, I moved away. Since we've been married, I ran into Barry at a General Assembly, I believe it was. And I met Barry, and I saw him, and we were talking. And I sat down with him. That night, I didn't say a word to him about what I had seen. There was no way. I wasn't saying nothing. Some 10 or 15 years later, I sat down with Barry. And we were talking. I said, "Barry, I got to ask you a question." I said, "And it's going to sound weird." He says, "Okay, what?" I said, "Do you have the Holy Ghost?" He looked at me. He goes, "Yeah, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, 8-10 years ago." And I went, he says, "Why?" And I told him the story. Now, Pastor, why do you tell that story tonight? Because I'm going to tell you, God's got a plan for you and a purpose. But if you fail, somebody else is going to rise up and do it. But you're going to miss something. See, the point of my message today, the point of what I've come by to share with you today, is not that we are God's only hope. And sometimes we read the book of Esther and we think that Esther was God's last chance. But no, you're not God's only hope. But God has chosen to give you an opportunity. And if you don't do it, God's going to take care of it another way. God is bigger than you. God is stronger than you. And I say this with all love and respect. God don't need you to take care of his business. But if you will, he's got a blessing for you. And if you don't, there is a price that will be paid. And as I begin to look at this passage of scripture, and I begin to look at the book of Esther, and I begin to understand that Esther had been placed. I've come by here this morning to tell you God has placed you. God has prepared you and placed you here. When you look back in Esther chapter 1, you find that the king got mad at his wife and he banished her from the kingdom. And then he started saying, "I really need a queen." And so they went out and they got all the prettiest women in the nation. And they brought them back and they said, "We'll bring them to you one at a time. And when you find one you like, you can make her king." And one of the ones that they chose that they brought to her was a lady named Esther. And Esther was, she was good looking. Come on now. Whew. Guys, you know, man, there's some husbands out there going, come on now. Every once in a while, you see somebody and you go, "Ooh." I'll be watching TV once in a while and I'll see something and I go, "Ooh." Beth go, "What?" I go, "Man, if you die, I'm going to call her." because she's gorgeous. Now, my taste sometimes is a little weird. A few years ago, for a couple seasons, so they got a little crazy. We used to watch Criminal Minds, and I don't know if there are any Criminal Minds people. And I'm telling you, I had promised Beth that if she died, I was going to go marry Garcia because I thought she was gorgeous. And I thought Garcia was so gorgeous, I named our GPS Garcia because she could give me directions anytime. Let me tell you something. Esther was gorgeous. And Esther was prepared. They took Esther. And they prepared her for one night for a whole year. Now, I want you to think about this. For a whole year, she was prepared for one night. They bathed her in oils. We were at VBS the other day, and they were teaching Esther to the children, and Anna did Esther. And she was in there, and I looked at somebody, I said, man, you chose the right person to do Esther. She's been bathed in oils ever since I've known her. She was bathed in oil. You know what that meant? That for a year, she bathed in perfume. So every time she walked in the room, you went, I know who that is. She had a fragrance about her. She didn't need to add anything. It was soaked into her skin. She had had beauty treatments. Her nails were done. Her hair was done. Everything was prepared. She had been prepared by man. And all that was great. But she had been placed by God. I'm going to tell you something. You can go to Bible school. You can go to seminary. You can do all those great things. I wish I was accepted into seminary and I decided not to go because I wasn't sure I could handle it. And there's part of me, I wish I'd went and got my master's. I wish I'd went on. I would love to be standing up here today as Reverend Dr. Tommy Sandifer. I would love to do that. But instead, I'm just Pastor Tommy. How y'all doing? Tell you what, I love education. I love that kind of learning. I love people that can do that. I've got great friends that are highly educated. I listened this week to my brother-in-law, Kevin. My brother-in-law preached a message a few weeks ago. You remember I preached a message on Total Eclipse of the Heart, and I preached about fear. He listened to that podcast and re-preached that sermon in his church. And I listened to the podcast yesterday, and I've never felt so stupid in my whole life, because he's a lawyer and he's educated, and man, he added all kinds of educated stuff to that sermon. I'm going, man, he preached my sermon and made me feel dumb, you know, because he's educated. I love that educated stuff. But I'm going to tell you, I will take God's placement over man's preparation any day of the week. I'm not here, as Paul says, I'm not here to entice you with words of man's wisdom, but with the demonstration and the power of the Holy Ghost. I've come by here to tell you that God wants to place you. See, in Esther chapter number 2, verse number 17, it says this. It says, the king loved Esther more than all the other women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her king instead of Vashti. What that verse says is that man had prepared her, but God had placed her. And when God placed her, he gave her favor and grace in the eyes of man. Now that's Esther. Let me talk about you for a second. You have been placed. You have been placed. Some of you have been prepared. And that's great. I love prepared. I like prepared. I like people that have been prepared. I like people who have done drama ministry for years and been prepared. I love people who have done construction and know how to build and been prepared so that this week we can go to Texas, or next week go to Texas and use what he has been prepared to do. But more important than your preparation is your placement. See, God has placed you here. Now. I looked at the platform this morning. Praise the Lord. We got Sister Diane up there. I'm going to tell you. Sister Diane has been placed here a long, long time ago. And I'm going to tell you, she doesn't get the credit she deserves. But every one of us that knows anything about worship knows she's the go-to person. Because it doesn't matter what style. It doesn't matter what song. If she can hear it, she can play it. When I was leading worship, man, I get here and everything's, you know, sort of Southern gospel and some older stuff. And I started leading worship once in a while. And all of a sudden, I'm driving down the road one day and I hear a song come on my podcast, on my radio. And it's by a group called Group One Crew. And it's singing Hallelujah. Man, in the middle of it, there's a little rap section. And I'm like, man, this song is awesome. And I come back and I go, Diane, listen to this. You think we can do this? And she just starts playing it. See, God prepared her. She's been prepared to learn music. She can read it. She can play it by ear. She can do whatever. But then God placed her. Man, that was gorgeous. It's wonderful. But then I look around the stage. Got Sister Sherry. Massive. Beautiful voice. Willing. You know what? Neither one of them were here, been here that long. Neither one of them been here that long. Then I go over. We got Amy over on the keyboard. Amen. Come on. Trying to throw the mics and all kinds of stuff. She's going to kill me that I pointed that out. And I look up there and I went, most of them, the three in the front, none of them been here over 18 months. Two of them hadn't been here a year yet. One of them hadn't been here 3 or 4 months yet. We got Aiden back here on the drums. Lord, help us with Aiden. We got him back here. Some of us still see Aiden as a teenager. He ain't a teenager no more. He's always a big kid, but he's still just a big kid. But God's got him up here. He's placed him. And I began to realize as I was watching worship today, our worship pastor is out of town. And God has placed a ministry in place. God has placed. Some of them were prepared other places. They've sang. Pastor Anna tells me you get the three of them together, especially these two, and the harmonies become amazing. And all of a sudden, I began to realize what God was doing. God is placing. I've come by here to tell you, you have been placed. Some of you have been placed for purposes that you are not doing yet. Some of you have been placed to teach, and you're not teaching yet, but you need to. Some of you have been placed to work in the parking lot ministry, and you're not working there yet, but that's what you've been placed for. You've been placed for purposes and for reasons. And some of you come in and go, well, I'm not prepared. God doesn't call the prepared. He prepares the called. And I got news for you. According to some people, I don't have enough education to do what I do. I'm a dyslexic college pair of my chinny chin chin graduate that can't even spell words right to put on a screen. But God placed me. God placed me because he knew he had a reason. And I want you to understand that you have been placed, not just placed in this church, not just placed in ministry, but you have been placed in this time. Do you know that God could have had you born in any time in history? You could have been born in the 1800s. My wife was. No, I'm kidding. You could have been born in the 1500s. You could have been born in the time of Christ. You could have been born anywhere in the world. God could have chose your life to be brought up in the bondage in the pains of a third world country or a communist nation like Russia or China. But God has placed you in America in the 21st century. You could have been placed anywhere in history, but God placed you here. Now, why is that important? Because God placed you here for a reason. God placed you here for a reason. You're not here by chance. You're not here by accident. You're not here because you want to be here. Within your life, you have been placed in Chillicothe, Missouri. You could live anywhere. You could have been born someplace else, or you could have moved. See, I don't understand that. I mean, I've only lived in 8 or 9, 10 states. In 24, almost 25 years of marriage, we've only had 18 or 19 addresses in 7 states. I I'm like most of y'all. I'm born and bred. Right? No, I ain't. I don't even know what my hometown is. I got on a app on my phone the other night that follows high school football because I was following our undefeated Chillicothe Hornets, amen. And this particular website, matter of fact, ranks him as number 1 in class 3 in the state. But anyway, and I thought, well, I can follow any high school team in America. And so I went back to the school that I went to elementary school in, and I followed them. And I thought, well, that's not where I went to high school. So I went to a school in Arizona, and I did most of my high school at, and I followed them. I thought, well, if I'm going to follow them, I better follow the school I graduated from. So I went to Ohio and followed that school. And then I thought, well, if I'm going to follow all those, I might as well follow the town that the last town we lived in, the first town that my boys went to public high school. So I went to Van Wert, Ohio, and followed theirs. And pretty soon I got a whole page of football teams that I'm following because I ain't got a hometown. I'm like, my word, I don't have a home. Talked to Anthony on the phone the other day. When are you coming home? Well, I'm going back to Tennessee in a month. When are you coming? I'm going to Tennessee in a month. I said, okay, when are you coming here? Oh, I don't know. Because he has decided that Tennessee is home. And so when I say, when are you going home? He says, I'm going to Tennessee in a month. Let me tell you something. You have been placed here. I'm a city boy. I've lived in Phoenix, Dallas, Oklahoma City, Columbus, Ohio, Baltimore, Maryland, Wilmington, Delaware. I've lived in the big cities. And God has placed me here. Chillicothe, Missouri. Do you know that I have now lived in Chillicothe, Missouri longer than any place I've ever lived as an adult? If you put up with me for 3 more years, it'd be longer than I've ever lived anywhere. And I got news for you. God has placed me here. Now, I'm going to be honest. There are nights that I want to go get something to eat. I wish he'd placed me someplace that had a restaurant. Come on now. I wish God would place me someplace with a Cheddar's. I wish God would place me someplace with a Burger King. I like Burger King. But he placed me here. Now, Pastor, why are you going on and on about our placement? Because you need to understand the placement to understand the next point. God has placed you here. God had placed her where she was. The next thing is, God's people are under attack. Haman rose up and went to the king. Haman got mad at Mordecai, Esther's uncle. The king didn't know Mordecai was Esther's uncle. The king didn't even know that she was Jewish. She never told anybody. And Haman got upset at Mordecai and decided he was going to get back at the whole Jewish nation. And he went to the king and says, I think we need to destroy them. I think we need to kill every one of them. Look at this. It says, chapter 3, verse 8 says, then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. Look at the first part of verse 9. If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed. Haman set out to destroy all the Jews. He was going to kill them all. He even built in his own backyard, in his own courtyard. He built places to kill them. He built gallows for them to find death. And in the midst of all that, he wanted to make sure Mordecai was one of them that got killed. I've come by to tell you that God's people are still under attack today. Now, God had placed Esther so that she could be in a place to talk to the king. Mordecai went to Esther and said, you need to go tell the king what's going on. You need to entreat him. You need to stand in the gap for your people. I've come by to tell you, you've been placed. And God's kingdom, God's people are being under attack. And we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to stand in the gap. When the enemy rises up against those in our church, we don't push them out the door. But instead, we need to wrap our arms around them. And we need to love on them because God has placed us here to bring deliverance and freedom. Pastor Tennyson preached last week, I have been anointed to preach freedom to the captives, to preach good news. I've got news for you. You have been placed here to bring peace and hope and love to those who have lost it. But it goes beyond those in our church. When the enemy rises up against our city, we should stand up and stand in the gap. We should be voices that stand with hope and peace and concern. Instead of standing and fighting and yelling and screaming, we can stand up in unity and love. I find it amazing. Just a couple of weeks ago, the devil's influence on one person caused the exchange of gunfire between them and police officers. Caused a standoff that lasted hours into the evening. And one of ours, who's not an officer, was out there talking. Being a voice of peace and talking down the enemy. Why? Because God placed him. Yeah. See, we need to be the ones. Oh, for the day that when trouble comes, they start turning to us, not as a church, but to us as a church and saying, you have been placed here. Can you help us? But for too long, we have ignored our placement, and we don't care that other people are under attack. I got news for you. It needs to break our heart when we see enemy rise up against another church, when we see enemy in power come up. I'm going to tell you, when we look around our city and we see churches in turmoil, we should not be whispering, well, they deserve that. Instead, we should be bending our knee and lifting up our voice and calling. When I was in St. Louis, first moved to St. Louis, we needed a new building. The pastor had found a church, and the building had a bad history. It had been a church, and the pastor had had an affair, and the church had split. And then that church sold to another church, actually swapped buildings. And the other church came in there and they began to grow till the pastor had an affair. And they had split and was way down. And that building would have been big enough for us to grow, and our building would have still housed what they needed. The pastor said, I'm going to go talk to that pastor about swapping buildings. And he said, but before I do it, he said, I'm going to go out there and pray. And he went for 6 weeks and he walked around that building and prayed. He just prayed, God, I want your will. I want your power. 6 weeks after walking around that building and praying, he called that pastor, set up a lunch meeting. As delicately as he could, he approached what he wanted to do. He wanted to see if we could swap buildings. And yeah, we'll buy yours, you buy ours, and we'll. And what the pastor said to him next is amazing. Because the pastor looked across the table at him and says, I'm going to tell you something. If you'd have called me 6 weeks ago, said we'd have started the paperwork right now. He said, I don't know what's happened, but in the last 6 weeks, God's begun to move in our church. And we're growing, and we've seen healing, and we've seen people getting saved. And I'm seeing such a move of God, there's no way I can walk away from what we got. I tell you what happened is instead of tearing down someplace, a pastor went and prayed for him. I've come by here today to tell you, you have been placed here because God's people are under attack. We have a responsibility. Lest you think that you are the great and mighty, I'm so important. Let me remind you that deliverance will come. You don't have this, but God does. You are not the answer to the problem, but God is. And what what Mordecai tells Esther is if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. God doesn't need you to fix this. God is still in control. Revival is still coming. Revival does not have to flow through Souls Harbor. Revival is going to flow. But, God's got this, but. Relief and deliverance is going to come, but. If you will stand in the gap. If you will walk in the place that God has planted you, if you will move in what you have been planted in place to do, you will receive the blessing. Here's what this verse says. For if you remain completely silent at this time, you decide I'm not going to do anything. Relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. God still got this. Let me put this another way. If you decide you don't want to worship and you don't want revival, revival is going to come. The power of God is going to move from another place. But you will perish. If you don't move with it, if you don't do what God's called you to do, if you don't walk in what God has placed you to do, God's going to make his things happen, but you're going to die. Can I speak bluntly? If you don't want to move in revival, and you don't want to worship, and you don't want to pray, and you don't want to read your word, revival will still come to Chillicothe. But you will die. When it comes time to meet Jesus, we stand before his throne. He's not going to ask you, did everybody around you do what they're supposed to do? He's going to say, did you do what you were supposed to do? And I got news for you. Well, the pastor didn't ask us to. That's not going to cut it. Nobody told me what to do. That ain't going to cut it. God's already told you what to do. God lays that in your heart. Don't you think you can get to heaven and tell God that nobody supported your vision? God gave you the vision. You walk in your vision. If you remain silent, God's power is still going to rise, but you're going to die. If you remain silent, God's deliverance and mercy is going to rise, but your family will perish. Can I tell you something? If you don't want revival and you don't want to worship and you don't want to pray and you don't want services to go too long and you don't want this and you don't want that, you don't want a crazy preacher that yells and screams all the time, then you sit there and cross your arms and put a look on your face like you've been drinking lemonade through a gas pipe. But I'm going to tell you something, you're going to die, but what's worse than that, your family's going to die. Your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, they're doomed. Your church family. Y'all know what it means when I sit down. If you don't want what God's got, I'm going to say this as lovingly and caringly and compassionately as I know how. I've had 19 addresses in 7 states, and I can go find another church that wants revival. If you want to sit here till you die, sit here till you die. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There were lepers outside the city that were barricaded. And they were dying inside the city. They were eating donkey brains and dove's dung. Oh, I preached about that before, but you know what that means. They were eating stubbornness and the excrement of sacrifice. Come on now. And one of the lepers looked at another and said, over in the enemy camp, they've got food. Why sit we here until we die? And those lepers got up and they began to walk toward the enemy camp. They're either going to kill us or they're going to feed us, one of the two. But the Bible says as they walked toward the enemy camp, the enemy heard their footsteps amplified like a great and mighty army. And when they arrived at the enemy's camp, the enemy had jumped up and killed each other and ran away. Why? Because they said, we're not satisfied to stay here. We want more. I've got news for you. You can sit here and be quiet. I love my little church. I love my little church. We got out in time to beat the Baptist to the restaurant. My pastor tells a few jokes and we get to laugh a little bit. But don't make us do anything crazy, Pastor. I don't know. Pastor ran around the church the other night. I don't know. Outside. Let me tell you something. We love our little church where we know everybody by name. This ain't Cheers, folks. Some of you are not old enough to know what I just said, but anyway. Cheers was a bar on TV, their theme song. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. You know what? We've treated the church like a bar long enough. This ain't a bar, folks. This is a place where lives are changed. And if I'm limited to only changing lives of the people who I know their name, then somewhere I've missed the point of God's call. God, I want you to fill my church up with people I don't know. Ain't near as many people shouting now. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. We know everybody. Do you know everybody in this town? then what you're saying is, let's change it this way. I want you to look at the person on your right and on your left, outside of your family. Do you know everybody in their family? If you don't know everybody in their family, you may be saying that just because you don't know them, you don't want God to move in their grandkids. You don't want God to bless their uncle or their aunt. Oh, come on now, church. We have got to understand that if we sit here and be quiet, God is going to send a revival somewhere. But we're going to die. Our church is going to die. Our family's going to die. Those around us are going to die. Why? Because we didn't do what God called us to do. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying we need to be like Esther. Esther stepped up. She did what she wasn't supposed to do, and she asked the king to come to dinner. Twice. She told him what was happening to the place that Haman was actually killed on the gallows that he built to kill Mordecai. Why? Because she stood in the gap. She did what she was placed there for. I'm going to end with a question. Will you be the butt that saves your family? Will you be the butt that saves your family? Are you going to be the one that stands in the gap? Oh, you could be quiet, but if you do, you and your household's going to go. Will you stand up and say, I'll do what it takes? Will you be the butt that brings revival to the church? I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to praise his name. I'm going to celebrate him. I'm going to shout. Will you be the butt that saves your family? How many of your family members were here 3 weeks ago? Oh, let's go back further than that. Let's go a month ago. Just you, right? Last week you had seven. This week you got mom and dad, got your daughter, three generations. You know why? Because you've been a real butt the last few weeks. Year and a half ago. Y'all didn't come to church here. You had a sister that sat right over there, and she would often whisper during church, what was he saying? She was a great whisperer. I'm getting points that their sisters like each other here. That's right. That's the way she whispered. And she died. Sad day. She was a great lady. And from the time of that funeral to this, y'all been here just about every week. You're reaching people that nobody else. She's about to start a Bible study in her backyard. You're reaching people, touching people. Your family has been here. You know why I point them out? Because the butt that changed their family changed it from the casket. What? I'm going to tell you, if you'll do what God's called you to do, you may not get to see it all, but you can still be the butt that saves your family. Church, this is real. This is real. I love all this. I love the shout. I love the laying on of hands. I love the people falling out. I love the run and jump. I love to look back and see my teenagers. Praise God. I love that. I come from a long line of that, man. My dad gets to preaching. He pops the top of his head. Just next time dad comes to preach, just everybody just at one time, just do that. That's why he's got a bald spot right there. He just beat it off his head. But man, I love that stuff. Dwayne's got a head start. Anyway, I love that stuff. I love that stuff. But what I'm talking about goes way beyond the shout. It goes way beyond the running the aisles. It goes beyond emotional services. It's when we stand up and we say, I'm going to make a difference. Where did Esther save her family? Over a dinner table. Over a cookout. She saved her family with her own husband. Church, we've got to make a decision. Are we satisfied to come up here and have shouting good time? Are we going to stand up and be willing to change the destiny of our family and of our community? How do we do that? We stand and do what we've been placed to do. Pastor Anna was afraid to ask you to lead. We know you've been through some pain. We know you've been through some hard times. But you were willing to use the preparedness you had to minister in the place you've been placed. And God blessed us today. But there are some of you in this room. There are some of you watching this on Facebook or wherever you're watching this from, listening to a podcast. Some of you, you're listening to a podcast and watching it on Facebook because you're too lazy to get dressed and come to church. I'm going to tell you, it's time we stand up and say, I have been placed here. And I am going to use what God has prepared me for and what God has placed me for to save my family. Sometimes that means we speak the truth. Sometimes it simply means we say, hey, why don't you go to church with me? Why don't you come with me? Let's pray together. Let's sing together. Let's go to church. If you'll come to church, I'll take you to lunch. Do that next week. If you'll come to church, I'll take you to a cookout. And then let her feed you. Hallelujah. Take them to breakfast. Whatever it takes, be the butt that saves your family. Stand in the gap. Do what God has placed you to do. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would lead us and guide us in your will. Lord, I want you to show us your power. Show us your anointing. Lord, show us what we have been placed to do. And Lord, whatever we've been placed here to do, Lord, give us the courage to step outside of our comfort zone, to step outside of our own desires, and stand up and be the butt that saves our family. Lord, the enemy wants to destroy. The devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But you have come to give life and give life to the full. Lord, the enemy's trying to destroy our homes, trying to destroy our families. But you have placed us to be life and to be hope and to be love. Lord, let us be that bud in Jesus' name. Pastor, what kind of altar service are you doing? I tell you what kind of altar service I'm doing. I'm going to tell you, go home and be a butt to your family. Come on. Go home and be different from what everybody else is. When your family's fighting, you be the voice of love. When nobody's agreeing, you be the one that's agreeable. When nobody loves, you be the one that loves. God has placed you in that family. God placed you there. And he's called you for a purpose. I want you to go home and be a butt to this community. The devil is trying to kill our communities. But if we'll stand up And we'll proclaim the peace and the mercy and the grace of God. And we will love unconditionally. We can change the destiny of our city, of our region, of our state, of our nation. I want us to live our faith. You may feel like what you can do is insignificant. You may wonder sometimes if it means anything that you pray for your customers, but it does. You may wonder sometimes if it's worth all the hours in that truck. It is. You're being a butt. You're changing destinies. You may wonder sometimes, why in the world would I have the whole church over to my house for a cookout? She sent me a message this week asking if she could do it. She goes, this is weird. No, you're being a butt. You're changing. Can I tell you? I'll just be honest with you. The biggest barrier to growth I've heard in this church is what I preached about today. I don't know if I want a church where I don't know everybody. I like the size of our church. A lot of people like the size of our church. I like the size of our church. I'd like it better if it was twice as big. Yeah. Three times be fine. I could preach this sermon two or three times on Sunday morning so we could house them all. Praise God. I got loud all of a sudden. Praise God. We got a couple different worship leaders now. I can look around the room right now and see 1, 2, 3 that could lead worship. We got at least 3 keyboard players, actually 4 keyboard players that I know of right now. We can make 3 or 4 services work. Biggest challenge I see is this whole idea we don't know if we want our church getting bigger. You know what that cookout does? It's a butt. Because all of a sudden we come together outside the church and people get to meet people. And all of a sudden they go, well, we don't want to get any bigger. But, man, you know, that Ryan family, they just got here. And we want them to stay. We know them now. And we start understanding that we can meet anybody that comes in. You're being a butt. Do what God has placed in you to do. Do what God has placed in you to do. That's how we change the world. I want to thank you for being here this morning. I want you to come back tonight. I'm going to be honest with you. I have no clue what I'm preaching tonight. So you may want to hold on and be here tonight because ain't no telling what God's about to do. You know, I usually can tell you 3 or 4 weeks ahead of time what I'm preaching. I have no clue tonight. God's got an empty slate, and we're just going to let him fly. So I want you to be here tonight, 6 o'clock. Shake hands, be friendly, tell somebody you love them, everybody God loves them, you're dismissed.